Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vahini Satsang. This is the 8th episode in this series. By Bhagwan's grace, we started this more than 2 months ago with this prayer and inspiration that He guides us to understand and ruminate on all those beautiful directions for life, directions for leading a spiritual life that the Lord Himself has penned. And we started with Prema Vahini because this is the first series that Bhagwan wrote when He started Sanatana Sarathi, the magazine through which He wanted to communicate His message directly to all the devotees. And today, by Bhagwan's grace, we also have a guest, a senior alumnus of Bhagwan's University, Brother Abhimanyu Kaul. So he will be joining us as we go on to discuss the third chapter of Prema Vahini. We began the discussion on the third chapter the last week, but today we'll spend a little more time on the first two paragraphs which we began last week, and then we'll move on. So let's listen now to the first two paragraphs of the third chapter of Prema Vahini.
Sadhane jeevitamunaku margamu. మానవుడు ఎంత ఉత్తమ స్థితికి పోగలడో, ఈ నరదేహమునందు ఎంత శక్తి ఇమిడి ఉన్నదో చూపగల తెలుపగల మహాత్ములు నాడునూ నేడునూ కలరు. మనసు ఎల్లప్పుడూ బయటనే తిరుగుచుండుట, ఇతరులను విమర్శించుట, ఇట్టి వ్యాపారములయందే అది చాలా వ్యర్థమైపోచున్నది. ఇతరుల గుణదోషములను చూచుటలోనే నిమగ్నుడైన ఇంక ఏకాగ్రత ఎట్లు కుదురును?
ప్రేమవాహిని చాప్టర్ 3. There have been and there are great masters now too who demonstrate to man the great heights one can attain and also reveal the great power that is latent in the human body. Mind of man is often wasted wandering on things outside, criticizing others and similar such businesses. When one is always engaged in seeing faults in others, how can one attain ekagrata or one-pointedness?
నావంటి దేహం కలవారే వీరపురుషులు, నావంటి దేహము కలవారే మహాపురుషులు. వారే ఇట్టి స్థితికి రాగలిగినప్పుడు నా స్థితి ఇట్లు ఎందుకుండవలను? ఇతరుల లోపములను వెదకినచో నాకేమి లాభము? నా లోపములు నేనే వెదకి నాకు నేను మనసు స్వాధీనంలో పెట్టుకునవలను అనే సంకల్పము స్థిరము చేసుకునుట మొదటి సాధన.
When many valorous and great ones who have physical bodies just like me have attained such exalted status, why should my position be anything less? What do I gain in finding faults of others? I have to search within myself for my own faults and keep my mind under control. Making this firm resolve is the first step in spiritual practice.
So, Brother Abhimanyu Kaul, really warm welcome to you to Prema Vahini Satsang. And as you hear these first two chapters, please share with us your thoughts. And first of all, how does it feel to be part of Vahini Satsang? First time you're here with us on this series.
And I am grateful to Bhagwan as well as to both of you for inviting me to this beautiful offering. I really feel blessed to be part of this group. In fact, it's very strange that I'm meeting people around the world who are exploring the same from their own perspective. Like I met recently another brother of ours in Canada, and we all were discussing about how Bhagwan has given so much in this life that one lifetime is not at all sufficient to explore. And he himself has ventured into learning Telugu. Learning the script Telugu.
What is his mother tongue?
His mother tongue is Tamil.
So he's learning Telugu.
Yeah, he's learning Telugu. and learning to write Telugu so that he can listen to Bhagwan's discourses and write it and then transcribe it so that he can transliterate for the generations to come. And here I come and I see you already started a whole journey on exactly what Baba has said. And the funny part is when Swami has said something, you know, obviously with all good intentions we try to interpret and try to understand it. But you all are doing an amazing work by putting it exactly what Swami said, so that it gives a mankind, a generation to have the original version of Bhagwan and the liberty of people to explore it in their own manner. So I feel blessed to be part of it. Thank you for really giving me this opportunity to come and share this moment with you.
In fact, it's really so heartening that, you know, there are people who are doing this now after the master's physical form is no more visible. Now you have this coming generation who are so keen about the message.
I guess, you know, it's also one way of gratitude.
Gratitude, yes.
Another way is that how do we remain connected?
Connected.
And then you start seeing the purpose of life.
Yes.
Because now Bhagwan has, by his grace, we all are, you know, quite doing well. We have seen the life. And you suddenly now understand what he gave us was such an undercurrent, important element of a purposeful, satisfying life.
Yes.
Which you do not find even when you get great success in your materialistic pursuit. So I guess it's a kind of a maturation, you can call it.
Yes.
Or you can call it growing old. But I feel we are all coming back to his words and his, you know, days.
And I'm sure you found just one person who is doing this, and I'm sure there'll be so many more in the world in different countries who are exactly trying to do this.
There are some people who are even offering that, saying if anybody wants to research on it, we'll support it. Because this is something a huge mankind needs it.
Yes.
I think this is the first document which Bhagwan himself has penned down.
Right.
Yes.
So imagine the importance of this Vahinis.
Absolutely.
So we need, it's our duty, if whatever way we can bring it back to our mankind and allow it for people to keep it, preserve it, I think that will be our little offering in this process.
Yes. I think for in the years to come, you'll find different people sharing their own thoughts, their own commentaries, just like, you know, you have the Bhagavad Gita, and you have different people have written commentaries on it.
Correct.
So perhaps, you know, you'll find in the years to come, there is the same Prema Vahini, but, you know, somebody can take Prema Vahini and juxtapose it with Ramayana and come with different interpretation of Ramayana. Somebody can take the Prema Vahini, juxtapose it with Mahabharata and get lessons out of that. I mean, I think because these are all eternal texts anyway.
In fact, this can be another addition to the Vedanta.
Absolutely.
You know, people said Bhagavad Gita was the end, but Swami gave another Gita, Sai Baba Gita, and he has given this. So this is all part of the Vedantic texts, in fact.
Wonderful.
Very true. I mean, if you see how Swami is starting this chapter 3, he says, there have been many great masters who have attained a high level of great power, revealing the great power that's latent in the human body. And this is a very, very potent statement, because Swami often says the proper study of mankind is man.
Yes.
And that is something which also points to the human body, because somebody who is able to understand the mystery and the marvel of the human body itself is like the pinnacle of God's creation.
Yes.
So he says there have been so many masters and people who have demonstrated the great power that is latent in the human body. But why everybody is not able to do that? He says, because the mind is so wavery and it is so busy criticizing others. He says it's so busy criticizing others and doing such businesses. So he says, when you're always busy finding faults in others, how can you attain one-pointedness? How can you get ekagrata? So if you just rewind a little bit, I think in the previous chapter, Swami said that for achieving anything that we want to achieve, one-pointedness or concentration is very important. Ekagrata is very important. And so he's saying here that if you are seeing faults in others, how can you get this ekagrata?
Yes. Wonderful. In fact, two, three thoughts come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, when Swami is saying about the power latent in the human body.
Right.
I was just reminded of Mr. Wadegaonkar.
Okay.
I don't know if all listeners are aware of Mr. Vade Gaonkar. He's a great servitor of Bhagwan who has been coming to the Divine Lotus Feet right from the 60s. And for every major occasion, festival in Prashanthi Nilayam, with the Second World Conference onwards, he's the one who'd come with a team of volunteers and look after the sanitation arrangements in the ashram.
Hmm. Right. Yeah.
Even for the last major birthday of Bhagwan, in 2010, he had come with a group of volunteers, and in just 13 days, they erected 125 bathrooms and toilets outside the ashram, another 100 inside the ashram, and then they maintained this for the entire duration of this 2-3 weeks. And he says the greatest miracle of Bhagwan during Bhagwan's 85th birthday is 10,000 people used this, but there was no incident of any disease or dysfunction of this entire system. But the reason I am sharing this, his life, is when I asked him, you know, how were you able to do this? You know, because he was past, I think perhaps he was nearing 80.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am myself a miracle of Bhagwan. He said, you know what, for the last 40 years, I have this friend who is always with me. It's my prolapsed disc. It's my best friend.
Wow.
And then he says, see, Bhagwan's grace, he has also gifted me with rheumatoid arthritis.
She has gifted him.
And then he says, and then the other blessing that Bhagwan gave me is last few years, my knee joints are giving away. And not only that, the new blessing that Swami has given me is, now I cannot hear properly. See, with all these blessings of Bhagwan, I am still doing his work. What else do you want?
That is
the greatest miracle. Mm. The reason I remembered this is, you know, when Swami says the power latent in the human body, it is what is encased in the human body.
Right.
When the spirit is high, when you want to just serve the Lord, when the focus on the Lord is so clear.
And you don't even see that.
Yeah, then the body, I think, he has no complaints about the body. He says, body is not mine. Body is, the first time when I saw Swami, I told Swami, this body is yours. I have dedicated this body to you.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Wow.
So this body is, yeah, mera botheration nahi hai. It's not my botheration. So whatever happens, it happens. I have to just, till my last breath, I have to do his work. I have to serve. That is what is the body is for.
How amazing. How amazing. But another point which, you know, comes to my mind is, Swami is talking about ekagrata or one-pointedness here. And he says, you cannot have this ekagrata because you are busy seeing faults in others.
Others.
But in the previous chapter, he says, you cannot get ekagrata when you have the tendency to harm others, when you have that fear.
Yes.
So he gave the example of animals. And he says, how, because a lion has the tendency to harm and to kill, so the lion cannot have one-pointedness. So that was the first reason, because it is always having fear.
Yes.
That's why he walks behind looking.
Yeah, and he says it just keeps looking this side, that side. So it cannot have concentration, it cannot have ekagrata, because it has to kill for its food. So that is the first level of physical harm. So here when you are talking about criticizing, it is at a mental level, you are physically not going and slapping a person. So he says, at the physical level, when you are actually criticizing others, harming others like an animal, you cannot have ekagrata. So here now he has stepped it up, and he says, if you are criticizing others at the level of the word, so at the level of the senses basically.
Yes.
So that was at the level of the body, now this is at the level of the senses.
Yes.
Even if you criticize others at the level of senses, sorry, ekagrata doesn't come to you.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I've been listening to these great masters. I was recalling a story about Swami Rama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a contemporary saint.
Right.
The Himalayan Institute. We all know about Shirdi Baba's, like he could remove his limbs.
Right.
And take out his intestine, wash them and put them back. See, even today when I tell this story to my corporate people also in youth, they look at me like as if I'm talking to them fairy tales, you know.
Yeah.
How could somebody just take out his things, you know. So, because the concept even is hard to digest in the present day context. Swami Rama, it's a long time back story that he came to US once, and first time when he visited, he had a conference with scientists.
Okay.
And there to justify and just to show them the Himalayan achievements of the masters, he paralyzed half of his body in front of them, and then he recovered it.
Mm.
So the scientists were very amazed. They had put all that, you know, tube and wiring there. So they were amazed that how could anybody just do that. And he was teaching, showing them the power of mind, that if I have a concentration, look how I can paralyze and fix it. And this was done. It seems after 6-7 years, Swami Rama was again traveling, and these scientists invited him. This time they invited him to show.
Mm.
And they had developed what we know today as a biofeedback system.
Mm-hmm.
And they had developed a mechanism by which anybody, they can wire them up. And now they showed him that, Swami Rama, look, now we have achieved this through scientific research. Now we can paralyze our body and fix it back.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed it to Swami Rama. Swami Rama laughed. He said, then what is the difference? Swami Rama very laughingly said, I have spent my life in pursuit of the divine, and out of which I just glimpsed, I shared with you. You have wasted your 7 years in paralyzing yourself and fixing it. So, the perspective of a saint is very different.
Right. Hmm.
So they show you that these powers are not important,
yeah,
but they are just part of expression of their being, because they have that sense control and the focus. But same thing, if you look at from a materialistic perspective, it becomes a huge different attitude altogether.
Absolutely.
You know? So he was just recalling that masters, how they depict that their powers, and then they'll smile on it. You know.
Just like the other anecdote about the I don't know if it is Ramakrishna Paramahansa or another saint, where one of the disciples learned, you know, after years of penance to walk on the water, and the master said, all it needs is 5 rupees, you give a boatman, will carry you. You spent 10 years trying to master how to walk on water.
That, I think Ramakrishna's story was there. Yeah. That he said, why should I waste my that immense energy if I can just do it with two? Like Swami used to say, no, why... Yeah. Ask coffee powder from the
So then, going on to the next paragraph, what he says is, there have been many brave ones and many valorous ones who have, you know, kind of attained an exalted status. Basically, they have controlled their body. They have gone beyond the control of the body. They have been able to control their body. And he says, why am I not doing it?
Yes.
Instead of wasting my time trying to find faults with others, I should search for faults within myself. And I should keep my mind under control. He says, these two are the first step to your spiritual sadhana.
Yes.
So,
in fact, before we go on, just one more thought on that first paragraph.
Right.
Because, you know, when I was reading this Bhagavan's writing, this thought occurred that Swami is saying businesses, vyaparam.
Yes.
See, mind of man is often wasted wandering on things outside, criticizing others, and similar other activities Swami could have said.
Mm.
But I was thinking, why did Swami use, you know, vyaparam?
Mm.
Because I think the mind is always in business, in this mind of doing a business. Mm-hmm. The mind is always, what will I get, you know? The mind is always in that of a vyapara mode, that business mode, what's in it for me.
Mm.
I feel there is something interesting about Bhagavan using the word vyaparam there.
Yeah, business is always trying to get a...
Trying to get, you know, always thinking, what's the deal? You know, what's in it for me? What's the... what am I going to get out of this deal? And mind is always like that, isn't it?
Right, right.
See, I recall when Swami started MBA. And that is the where he gave the dictum of man.
Yes.
A manager.
Yes.
And he explained that. The M stands for
mind of man.
And he has explained it very beautifully.
Yes.
And there actually he gave a differentiation. What is mind of man and what is mind of animal?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, when you're talking, I'm recalling, these are the attributes he mentioned. That if you say you are human being, then you have a mind of a man. Then a mind of a man should be focused, should be giving.
Yes.
But if you start expecting, taking, exchanging, criticizing, then you are not using mind of man.
Man.
You are using mind of an animal. So that's how he explained the concept of mind of man.
Yes.
So now, when since you're talking, I just hit me that...
I mean, that...
Probably that is what he was trying to say, that mind of man means one who gives.
Yes.
A and not have anything in a barter system, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That education also, he made it like that. Education yes. should not be barter. Yeah. Health should not be barter.
Hmm.
So mind of man means one who knows how to give,
yes.
serve.
Yes.
And the moment you make it into a barter,
yes.
then you are not being mind of man.
Yes.
Then I think what you are saying, yes. it becomes vyaparam, business.
And that's what, if you are a human being, then you should have that hridaya, as Bhagwan says, and hridaya is compassion.
Compassion.
So, anyway, I'm sorry, Sai Prakash, for going back to the first paragraph.
That's wonderful.
But somehow point. That was just something which stayed in my mind. I thought I'll share it.
That's yeah. true. And then, so, you know, summarizing the second paragraph again, he said that there have been many brave ones. In fact, again, using the word, he says, Veera Purushulu.
Hmm.
Veera Purushulu is the brave ones.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very interesting because the word bravery, the, you know, fearlessness is such an important yes. aspect of a spiritual journey. And why does somebody need to be brave in order to take the first step for sadhana?
I mean, yeah.
to take the first step of your spiritual sadhana, you need to be brave.
Yeah.
And it's a kashchit dhiraha. In yes. the Vedas also it said, yes. some one rare brave soul amongst millions will take the step of taking the first step on a spiritual yes. journey. And why is it that when Swami says, why fear when I am here? Why is it so important?
Mm.
Why is fear such an important factor of, you know, something which we have to overcome?
Mm.
See, these are all thoughts that come
up. I think if you see Bhagwan's gradation, the path for self-realization, it starts with self-confidence. So Swami is very clear that, hello, you got to be confident.
Right.
You know, you got to have that self-confidence. Divine grace will come, but it won't come unless you take that effort. You are confident about the power that is latent in you and, you know,
what I find interesting here is that the destination itself becomes the starting point.
Exactly.
So when we say that self-confidence, and that is actually ultimate conviction that I am one, and there is no difference.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have that oneness, that you know, non-duality, then really you are fearless. Because
right.
there is nobody else.
Yes.
So if I have nobody else, then who would I fear from? And that concept is, again, starting from self-confidence.
Mm.
So if you look at it, he expects us to self-realize before we can start living.
Exactly.
So it's not that you have to live at the end, you find self-realization. So you have to be self-realized to start the journey. So it is very funny when the whole world is looking for self-realization at the end of the life. Yes. Our Lord says, no child, you better self-realize, then you start the journey.
Exactly.
Then you'll know how to live your life.
Yes. The path itself is the goal.
The goal.
The
Isn't
path
it funny?
Itself.
It's so beautiful catch 22.
Yeah.
You can never say, Swami, how do I start?
No, I think that's why you can't go and tell Swami, I have to reach God. Swami, you are God. What do you have to reach? You are already God.
I recall discussing with somebody recently and he said that, you know, Swami in a very student gathering, he said, children, today when majority of the human population is in dualism, they're mm-hmm. still gripping with dualism, they're still trying to fathom their separations and all that. By virtue of being with me, I have lifted you to qualified non-dualism,
oh.
Vishishta Advaita.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is your turn, just have the faith and the conviction, and you will skip and go into the Advaita.
Oh.
Oneness with the God.
Wonderful.
So we are so fortunate, all the devotees of Bhagwan who have been blessed by him, that he has, by default, you know, like, just because you are my child, you are qualified to come. So we have been promoted to Advaita.
Vishishta Advaita. Maybe you should explain this little bit, brother. How all the devotees are now actually have the benefit of being in the stage of Vishishta Advaita.
See, if I look at it very simply, Sai devotees by default have the strong faith that Baba is with us. When he was physically available, you can talk to any devotee from any corner of the world and they will talk to you as if they own Sai Baba. You know, Swami is part of their family.
Yes.
That conviction which he gave to each one of his devotee, isn't that not a part of a glimpse that's showing you that yes. he's one with you?
Yes.
So that the feeling that Sai is mine is almost reaching the stage that Sai and I are one. I don't say my mother is mine. Do you say my mummy is mine?
Yes.
We presume mummy is mine means mummy is mine. There's nothing to say. Yes. She's my mother. That statement itself qualifies that mother is mine. So imagine saying God is mine doesn't qualify for us when we say Baba is. So we have reached that stage where every devotee or anybody who has been blessed in that manner, we started saying and believing that he's part of our family.
Yes. Absolutely.
So by default, we have been jumped into a position wherein we don't find separation.
Yes. I am servant of the Lord to I am the son of the Lord. I am part of the Lord's family.
Swami is part of my family.
Yes.
Everybody goes to the room and thinking Swami is mine. And he also behaves as if he was there with you. Like, you know.
Yes.
So we all are by default reached that stage wherein we don't feel separation from the Lord.
Yes.
Now it is that dichotomy that am I one with the Lord? That is a jump.
Yes.
That jump is required. But we all constantly live with that awareness that He is God, I am His devotee, or His servant, or His child. So there is a duality.
Yes.
But He is mine.
Yes.
That also is there.
Yes.
I am His.
Yes.
That also. So we have gone to Vishishta Advaita by default.
Yes.
We have not done any
unconsciously. Swami has just lifted us.
Lifted us.
Yes.
Each one, you can talk to even present devotees, anybody.
Yes.
They will say, Baba is mine.
You know, it goes to the extent of saying somebody from Bengal, for example, may say, Swami loves sweet.
Yeah.
Somebody from Andhra says, Swami loves spicy food.
Yeah, he loves spicy.
Yeah.
Because Swami has behaved like that with each one of them.
Exactly.
Everybody. So, the concept of that duality was, he is God. That much is sure. We all say, he is like master. But he is my master.
Yes.
I recall Shiva Puran from there, you know, when I look at Mother Parvati's life, and that has been a great inspiration for me. Because when you look at her, she is married to Lord.
Yes.
Okay? So she is she's Ardhangini. She is the half. She is herself the energy.
Yes.
But she spends, according to the Purans, I have not been there, so I can't. According to the Purans, she spends most of the day praying to Shivling.
Yes.
Because she says, as a wife, I can sit next to you. But as a devotee, I need to connect with you to remain worthy of sitting next to you. So the mother, the energy, also needs to keep working.
Yes.
And that is the only way to enjoy Lord. If you become one with the master, then there is nothing like loving or caring.
Yes.
The whole creation is so beautiful because it is the only expression of showing expression of love.
Yes,
absolutely. And I don't think Swami, anybody can better explain than Swami's statement. I separated myself from myself to love myself.
Yes.
So even the creation, the concept of creation was love.
Yes.
So when you see the mother and master, the separation itself is to romance, to love.
Yes.
And how does she romance? With Shivling, the worshipping of the Lord. And when she comes as a consort, she is one with the master. She can take decisions like master.
Yes.
But when she's separate from him, then she is serving him.
Yes.
See,
wonderful.
I learned that, I love that affection. And that's what I see Swami has done to all of us.
This is Advaita to Advaita. She's reached there.
She's reached there. Yes. Now we are still hanging from Dvaita to Vishishta. No problem.
Yes.
But at least Swami has given us by default.
Yes.
When we are separate from him.
Yes.
We are worshipping him. We call on him. We love him. We admire him.
Yes.
But there are occasions in our day, every day I'm sure all of us feel that. When we feel he's not different and we talk to him, we fight with him, we smile at him, we do everything with him.
Yes.
And that time he's not different from me. Yes. So we have reached that.
Yes.
But I don't think we have done anything special to achieve. That's why I can say very safely that yes, it is a blessing.
Yes.
That the master has given to each and every devotee of his.
You know, one more, just an episode comes to my mind. There was a spiritual master when I met him. So he was mentioning about the devotion of Radha to Lord Krishna. And he says that, you know, Radha had a lot of suffering in her life. Lot of pain, lot of, like people, she went through a lot of suffering. To what extent she understood it as suffering is different, because Swami always asked that question.
Yeah.
But she was put into lot of pain and suffering. He asked, do you know why? Of course, we didn't know. And he said, in her entire life, once she got a doubt whether Krishna is with me or not.
Oh my God.
once she had a doubt. I mean, she didn't even say, oh, Krishna is not with me. She got, is Krishna really with me or not? Oh. And that is the level of, that is the biggest sin she has committed in her entire life.
Oh God.
And I mean, from this level,
it is very depressing now.
but at the same time, it just shows how much concession Swami has given in the Kali Yuga.
Absolutely.
Humongous. Otherwise, you would not be qualified to sit there.
Yeah.
But that is true, actually, you know, if you look at it. Like I
that's why I think all the sages and saints, you know, they envy people in Kali Yuga. Like, it's so easy, man, for you. How much we had to toil to get even this
See,
much
of blessing. See, he says, instead of searching faults in others, search for faults within yourself.
Yes.
So, as you rightly said, the first step is the last step. Last step is the first step. How can we not find faults with others? Only when we realize that others are ourselves and we are others. Correct. Unless we see that unity, that feeling of unity, you are still going to find faults with others.
In fact, one day in our small get-together with Swami, he mentioned, he said, as long as you can see fault in others, you have that fault.
Exactly. Yeah.
So he was just killed us right there because nobody could complain now. Because if you complain, then say you have that same thing, so why are you complaining? So he said, same, it's like so clean, eh?
Yes. Reflection, reaction, reaction. And then he would say that when you point a finger, three fingers are pointing back at you. So how many times?
Amazing. Wow, so this is the firm resolve that anyone has to take if you have to start on the spiritual path. So let's move on to the next paragraph.
మనము దినమంతయు పనులు చేయుచునే ఉందము. ఇట్లు దినమంతయు పడుపాట్లలో ఉద్దేశమేమి? ఈ అట్టహాసము, ఈ ఉరుకులు, పరుగులు అన్నీ మన చరమదశ మధురంగా ఉండవలననియే కదా. పగటి యొక్క తుది ఘడియ సాయంకాలము వచ్చును. పగటి పనులన్నీ పవిత్ర భావములతో జరిగిన రాత్రి ప్రార్థన మధురంగా జరుగును. అట్టి సంతృప్త భావము ఏర్పడగానే ఏకాగ్రత పొందుదుము.
We are unceasingly engaged in various activities throughout the day. What is the purpose of this daily toil? Isn't all this work, fun, show and strain meant to ensure that our final moments are sweet and pleasant? The day culminates with the evening. If the day's work is accomplished with a sacred feeling, then the night's prayer would go on sweetly. Once we experience such a feeling of fulfillment, we can attain one-pointed concentration.
Next level of one-pointed concentration. Now it goes to the next level. So he says, it's almost like saying, what's the purpose of life?
You know, in my recent ventures, I am into education, as you know. I'm blessed that Swami guided me into education, and now I am primarily dealing with the school children.
Okay.
That is a focus right now. I had started off, by default, it was thrown in my lap. And there we are trying to teach children, and I firmly believe, you know, I've kind of scientifically proved Swami's statement, end of education is character. So we start building the stepping stone of character in the early childhood. By formal education is by three years old. And exactly, you know, we are teaching them the purpose. And how do you reach this, that you can sleep comfortably at the end? The ultimate culmination of the day is, can you go back and kick the bucket at the night and sleep comfortably?
Yes.
If you have attention, then what is the point of slogging? And the beauty of it is when you start realizing how children respond to these.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure we can discuss that and see. But you know, when Baba has given us this Jyoti meditation.
Right.
Yes.
Now there are variations have come out of it. But it is so simple yet so beautifully profound that it has changed the mindset of a lot of people and governments. In the West, if you will be happy to note, there are many schools who are replacing punishment by meditation.
Oh, that's interesting.
So what they're doing is that, you know, if you have children who are aggressive, who have done some mistakes or who are violent,
instead of punishing them or quiet corner to these children, they are put in one room and ask them to meditate.
Wow. The children are able to meditate?
And the children are able to meditate.
Wow.
And not only they sit quiet. See, word meditation is a little heavy.
Yeah.
So it just distracts everybody and it takes into religious connotations. But if you really see that sitting quietly, yes, calming their breath and focusing on a flame or anything like that, that itself is a huge thing. And personally, we have seen our 4 years old, when they start at 3, by the time they are 4 years, all our children from various backgrounds, even from broken families, from single parenthood and all that, I'm telling you, the variety of society which we are seeing, even those children are able to sit in one posture without moving for at least 7 to 10 minutes.
Wow, in today's times, children sitting at 7 to 10 minutes without movement.
So, you know, when you see these things, Swami has given us this small, small thing which ultimately will culminate into one point and knowing yourself.
Wow. Yeah, it's just like, you know, Swami says, take any one of my teachings and follow it.
Ultimately, it will reach there.
You will reach there.
Yeah. So, if the day's work is accomplished with a sacred feeling, then the night's prayer would go on sweetly. And I think when Swami is telling, you know, the day's work being accomplished with a sacred feeling, the thought that I get is, the sacred feeling that we can have when you're doing any work is, if we can think that this is His work. You know, if you dedicate every second of your day to Him, dedicate every activity, every breath to Him, I think that is when it becomes sacred. And if you have had that kind of a day, then yes, you would have a very beautiful night. Your night prayer would go on sweetly and you will have a great restful sleep. In fact, you know, something that comes to my mind is, sometime back on Radio Sai, we started Radio Sai Facebook Sadhana. Mm-hmm. So wherein the idea was,
Facebook Sadhana.
Facebook Sadhana. Because we are in this age where people spend so much time on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, other day, I was just sharing with Sai Prakash other day also that the recent research studies show that people in the age group of 18 to 35, 40 spend about at least 6 hours and 15 minutes every week on social media. But people in the age group of 40 to 55 spend 6 hours and 55 minutes on the social media.
Oh my God.
So there is so much time that is being spent in these days, that is the reality, on social media, on Facebook, etc. So we thought, why not try and, you know, propel people to utilize their time on Facebook on doing something which will make them think about Swami, sanctify their time.
So you're bringing Facebook into satsang category.
You can do satsang anywhere.
Correct.
So the idea was, let's start something, because, you know, I know of people who, every morning when they get up, you know, once, like Karagre Vasate, Lakshmi Karagre Vasate, you will start first see messages on Facebook. And similarly, you know, Karacharana Kritamva, before you sleep, once you want to just check, you know.
Check the WhatsApp also.
Yeah, check the WhatsApp. Exactly. Check, you know, once check the Facebook, check once the WhatsApp, you know, and before you're done with the day. So I thought at that point in time, if they can think about Swami, and that would be very beautiful. You sleep with, you know, that thought. So we started this sadhana wherein we every day give this question and ask people to complete this sentence. So we started on Sankranti day where we asked, you know, the first time when I saw Swami, I. And, you know, fill up that
beautiful
blank. Mm. And so, you know, people have written very, very beautiful things. And in fact, what we have started doing is now we do this Facebook sadhana roundup week one. And we publish some of the beautiful thoughts that people have expressed on the website. So
is it on the Facebook? There is a page called Facebook like that?
Yeah. No, on the Radio Sai Facebook page.
Oh, right. Okay.
The official Facebook page of Radio Sai. So that is where we have this daily sadhana. So, and we publish some of, once a week, some of these sadhana entries that people have written for over the week. We take one question and then, you know, we share that. Those, because every thought is very beautiful, you know.
Yes,
different
yes.
people have said different things. For example, today's is, you know, if I want to offer one thing to Swami, I, dash. And the kind of things that people have written, you know, somebody says, If I have to offer one thing to Swami, I want to offer my heart. If I have to offer one thing to Swami, I want to offer my past lives, present lives, future lives of not only mine, but of every being, so that every life turns into a life of eternal love.
Wow.
Someone says, I want to offer anger and all the other traits which hamper my spiritual growth. Someone else says, I want to offer myself because I want to strive to know that I am not different from him. Someone else says, no, I want to offer my breath. Someone else says, I want to offer my hand in friendship. Someone else says, no, I want to offer my ego. Someone else says, I want to offer a life which is only into service, service and service. Someone else says, I want to offer karmaphala, my fruits of my actions. Someone else says, I want to offer transformation. I want to transform and offer that transformation. So I'm just sharing. It's so beautiful when you see different people.
It triggers a thought in them.
Yeah. The reason I remember this is, you know, if we can, as Bhagwan says, if we can work towards accomplishing our day as a day which is filled with sacred feeling, then, you know, before we hit the bucket in the night, then you have such beautiful thoughts. Your night prayer would be so sweet.
I'm recalling one day a few boys were in the interview room. Sorry. And there were some boys who had come from US, and they're kind of sharing. You know, sometimes Swami allows you to trigger the thought. You can talk about it. Otherwise, you don't talk normally in front of Swami. So Swami had triggered that discussion, and one boy was very genuinely sharing his concern that Swami, life is becoming so tough that both couple have to work today to provide for the best for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And life is becoming very, very tough. You know, we have to work day in and out. There's no time for us to do. And I see, Swami, how you have brought us up, and we are not able to provide that for our children, and we are struggling and that. So his thought process was that, Swami, there's no time, and I want to do something, but I just don't know how to allocate myself. Swami became very kind of serious, and he pulled back on his chair. And after a few seconds of silence, Swami pointed like that. He said, "To the mountain. Outside there are mountains behind the room, right?" Swami said, "You know the mountains there?" So the boy nodded very softly that, "Yes, Swami." And Swami said, "On that mountain, you know, there are small, small plants, insects."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Yes, Swami. Who provides for them?" So it's like, you know, now the master is talking something very different, right? So we don't know how to answer that.
Yes.
So, and you know, when Swami says, then better shut up than to show your ignorance. So, and Swami kept quiet for again a few seconds, let it seep into us. And then again he said, "If I can provide for those creatures of mine, you, after all, are my best creation. Won't I care for you?"
Wow.
You know, it was like a mind-boggling statement to hear from the master with that authenticity, you know, like authority is talking.
"I will care for
you. I will care for you, and why are you bothered for your day-to-day affair of who will pay the rent, how will I eat food, how will I provide?" So then we looked at him like that, you know, it was like, "I." But we get up in the morning, we have to go to school, colleges, work, and if I had to get assignments, get good marks, good job. See, we have to do all that. And he's telling, "Why? Why are you worried?"
Yes.
So the question came, "Swami, if everything else is taken care of, then what is my purpose? What should I work for?" And that is where he left us. And we were all staring at each other like, "Eh? Now what do we do?" And that is the time when it dawned me after 10 years. It didn't dawn me at that time. It has taken me almost a decade or more. There's my understanding that what he was trying to tell us at that moment was that you are struggling for the day-to-day mundane activity which is not needed. Yes. Because that is predestined. Because of your karma, you are supposed to get food, you will get it.
Hmm.
And that he has told many times, "Don't worry." So what is our purpose? Our purpose is the God union.
Yes.
Realizing who you are. I'm God. And if we live with that consciousness and act according to that, then not only we'll achieve what we are trying to achieve,
yes,
but we'll find a satisfaction, a contentment, a fulfillment.
Fulfillment, yes.
Other than that, we are only struggle, we'll get tired. At the end of the day, we'll be cursing each other and we'll be tired, looking for medicine to sleep. But it's only when we realize that, hey, there's no other way out.
Yes.
We are one with Him. And it's a joy that I have to get up in the morning, smile at few people, do some work. It could be radio editing, or it could be working in a business or teaching in a school. All that becomes an expression of the joy that the Master has given me, something to live and enjoy.
Life becomes a celebration.
Celebrations, true. Very well said.
Wonderful. So there is no more stress. You're no more stressed. You are blessed.
Yes.
At every moment.
Like that statement. You're not stressed, but blessed.
Yes.
There's another thought that comes, you know, in the Gita when Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami maashacha. He says, I will remove all your sins. You just have to lead your life for me and give up all your duty. Now, that is a statement which can be conveniently interpreted.
Yes.
But what did Krishna mean, give up your duty? Should we actually give up our duties? So, it's possibly, I think, the kind of illusion or the kind of attachment to the role that we are playing. That is what Krishna wants us to give up. It's not that a mother will disown her child and say that I have given up my duty as a mother. Now I am no more your mother, you are no more my child. Now that is not the... But she cannot say that she is only the mother.
So I've coined a word there, detached attachment.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So you have to be attached but yet detached.
Attached.
Like Swami used to say, no, that be like a principal.
Yes.
Yeah. At the end of his tenure.
Yes.
You wind up, you hand over children and you're gone.
Very dramatically he says, the principal gets up from his chair on the last day, takes his towel which is there on his shoulder, dusts it and he says, bye. So beautiful.
So he is attached completely and yet he is detached.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, I think Sai, this is a very beautiful thought, you know.
That is how we can have the feeling of fulfillment and on the road to one-pointed concentration. So let's move on to the last paragraph. Probably we'll listen to that today and see how much we can dwell on it.
Manavudu ekkuva kaalam jeevimpagodu. Ee svalpamaina aayu pramanamulone divya sukhamunu savichoodakala samarthyam vaanikunnadi. Iddaru vyaktulu కేవలం ఒకే ప్రింటులోనే తయారైనట్లా ఉందురు. ఇద్దరి అవయవములు సమానముగానే ఉండును. ఇట్లుండియు ఒకడు దేవతుల్యుడు కావచ్చును, మరొకడు పశుప్రాయుడు కావచ్చును. దీనికి కారణమేమి? ఇరువురిది ఒక మతమే కదా, ఒకే మానవాకారము కదా. పరమేశ్వరునకు ఎందుకు భేదము? కాదు కాదు, ప్రవర్తనను బట్టి ఈ ఇరువురు ఒక జాతి వారని నమ్మలేము. కనుకనే మొదట మానవునికి ప్రవర్తనలు ప్రధానమైనవి.
Man does not live long. However, in this short span of life, he has the ability to experience divine bliss. Two people might appear ostensibly made of the same mold. Their limbs might look alike. Nevertheless, one could turn out to be an angel and another a beast. What is the reason for this? Do they not have the same human form? Do they not belong to the same religion? Why did God differentiate between them? One may ask. This is not correct. Looking at their behavior, it is hard to believe that both of them belong to the same community. Therefore, primarily, behavior is important for man.
So, Brother Abhimanyu, I think you have dealt with so many students and so many children working in school, Bhagwan's school. And perhaps you would have seen how two children who are so alike, perhaps in their appearance or maybe they come from the same family, but they could turn out to be very different in their character.
Certainly.
Actually, this is this puzzles the new parents also very much, because the home is same, environment is same, parents are same, yet one child could be very docile kind of, and one can be very aggressive. And I know when I look at it in this manner, the easy way which I try to understand and create programs for the children is through value programs. Swami has given us a very beautiful technique, you know. He does not deal with any rituals, anything like that. He goes basically straight on the value system. So everybody is flowered differently. Like every one of us have a different personality. But our value systems are same. I may choose to express them differently. So what we try to do as an educationist is reinforce the values and let the child, empower the child to understand how to interpret that value, which is not disturbing the peace and harmony of the environment. So slowly, slowly the child gets into the groove to understand how to behave in nature. Because if you tell the child, do not pluck the flower, so he'll not pluck the flower of the class, but he'll go out and pluck the flower of the neighbor, because he does not understand the difference. But when you teach him respect, care and love, then he will behave everywhere correctly. So we go back into the basics. So behavior becomes very critical for children. And like Swami used to put very simple language. Who is a boy?
Yeah.
His definition is very simple.
Yes.
Who is a boy? One who has good behavior. Who is a man? Who has good manners. Yeah. See, like, I don't think anybody can put it in such a succinct and simple manner.
Yes, absolutely.
So behavior determines the quality of a child. Now, it does not mean that everybody has to be very docile and, you know, don't speak too much. You can, but you must know appropriately. So I can be loud, a child can be loud and expressive, extrovert, which is also fine, as long as he understands the decorum of place, time and circumstances. So if you look at it that way, it is very beautiful. Swami says the ability to experience joy is our birthright.
Correct.
Wow. Yes.
That human beings must know that you are blessed, you are happiness. And to experience that is our ultimate, like, birthright in a way. That's the best word I can think of.
Yes.
So there is no two ways about it. Now, work towards it. It's very simple. And how can you convince that I am stabilized in my truth? How can you say convincingly that I know what I am doing is right? Is only through your behavior. The proof of pudding is in eating, you know, so you can't. If you say that I am righteous, then you show it by your actions. There's no point, like Swami used to tell, no, that if you carrying a scriptures on your back is like a donkey carrying the scriptures, so nothing goes inside, you know. So library is, all the literature is in library, but library is not intelligent.
Right.
One who churns it.
Yes.
In today's context, the iPad itself is
not. Yes, not a library, but iPad is not intelligent, you know. Yeah. iPad can give you the facilities, but you have to churn it up. So ultimately, the reaction is how the child behaves. So value in orientation in this area becomes very, very critical. Because you can be in America, Canada, Caribbean, Indonesia, wherever you want to be in the world, everybody has a different expression.
Yes.
Every child learns through their environment differently to express. But undercurrent of values is the same.
It's the same.
Wherever I go, that is a common thing. Every parent wants their child to be respectful. Every parent wants their child to be happy, smiling, fulfilled. And that is what, in fact, the UNESCO is promoting. That you want a holistically developed child. Has an integrated personality. Who has wellness of body, mind and soul. They are talking about it. They have a big area of development called spiritual development now.
Oh.
The word spiritual is no longer untouchable. They are using that word. Mm. But understanding of that word which Baba has given us is something the world will take little time to come up to that level. But that is a fact of the life. A behavior.
Very true. In fact, in today's Sai Inspires also, he says the same thing. Like he says, your what you are actually is completely reflected in your actions.
Actions.
He says, your actions reflect what you are, whether you are, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, whatever. So that behavior, your final actions, what you do, it reflects who you are. So, that's all. There can be no difference in that. You can't say, I am so-and-so, but I'll behave the way I want.
In education, some people tell me that, hey, this person is acting to be good, but he's not good. So I again quote Swami. I don't tell them each time Swami because it's like, how much can you tell? Everything is his only. So I said, don't worry. Let him pretend to be good.
Yes.
He will then ultimately tend to be good.
Yes.
And he'll end being good,
Exactly.
So, Swami has given us all the solutions.
Yes.
So I said, if he's pretending to be good,
yes,
at least be happy.
Yes.
So he knows, the child knows what is bad and what is good.
Yes.
So he's acting good.
Yes.
Like we had one child, it is a very cute child. He's his father is, I think he's from South America and mother was Caribbean. And the child is very beautiful, very simple and very sharp. So we have taught him how to share in the classroom and, so the word value of the week was sharing. So he has been sharing in the classroom and all that. When he goes home, he was snatching the toy from his brother. So mother tells him, Rishi, didn't you learn sharing in the school? Is that sharing with your brother? So he stopped right away and he told mommy, mommy, that is only for school, not for home. So, even though it's a mischievous note, but I was, when she told me, we laughed together. I said, at least the child knows what is right, what is not right. Today he's taking little liberty with his brother, but tomorrow he will give back because he understands now. At least the concept is there in his head that this is sharing. I need to give because he's my brother.
Yeah. Wonderful. In fact, I'm just reminded of all the days in the school, in Bhagwan, studying in Bhagwan's higher secondary school, Prashantali, where Swami used to always refer to behavior. And you're so particular about, you respecting elders. And, the thing that you mentioned about pretending. I think Swami also knew that, so many guys are all the time pretending. Well, I remember there was this occasion where, Swami asked someone to speak and he gave a very beautiful talk, a talk suffused with devotion and all the virtues. And someone told Swami, that guy is really not all that he spoke. Swami said, that doesn't matter. It is very important if he can stand up and, in front of like, 5,000 people say that this is what is faith, if this is what is love, that is fantastic.
Yeah, because if today he can say it, tomorrow he can live it.
Tomorrow he can live it. Sometime it will come back to him and it will come back to him very strongly. And I think that is how I think Swami, was inculcated. And that's how you see so many students who have graduated from Bhagwan's University. At some point in time, they all come back, everyone has his own journey, but once, when they come back, I think they come back very, very powerfully.
They're more doubly strong in that.
Doubly strong, because all those things, as you said, Bhagwan has implanted in us all these tenets of behavior.
Let me close it with a small story.
Yeah, sure.
It happened in the interview room. Swami had called one student with a group of devotees for an interview. And the boy was sitting next to Swami's chair. I'm sure if people have been to the room, they know. We just on the right side of Swami, snuggled and sitting. And Swami, like a mother, he started praising the boys. And he said, look at this boy. See all of you rowdies, you're looking around here and there. Look at him. He's not even lifted his head up. He's so good. And he started praising him to the skies. And this fellow started crying. The boy was so like embarrassed, like Swami is praising you so much. And you know that when he starts praising on your face, you better get ready. So when he took him inside the inner interview room, the boy fell at his feet and he was crying. And Swami said, hey, Mira, what happened? Why are you crying? He said, Swami, you also know, I also know. Whatever you said outside was all wrong. It's not true. I'm not like that. Why did you tell lie? Swami said, I know that whatever I said is not true today. But whatever I said, I want it to become true tomorrow.
Wow. Wow.
That is what I want you to be.
Yes.
And I know that you are not there today, but that is what I expect you to be.
Wow.
Very beautiful.
The master will always show us where we have to go.
We have to go. So who can guide us like that, you know? Such simplicity and behavior.
Fantastic. So we all have to tune our behavior towards the behavior that Bhagwan will be proud of us.
Expects us, yes.
Expects us. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brother Abhimanyu. I think
thank
it was
so
a very,
much.
Very lovely session with the insights that you came up with, and, you know, working in the world outside, in the field of education. And you are actually dealing with all this in a day-to-day.
I'm grateful for all of this opportunity and both of you. It is a pleasure talking to you and reminiscing about Bhagwan. There's nothing better joy than that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So, dear listeners, with that, we come to the end of this day-long Thursday Live. Please do share with us your thoughts and feelings, your comments on the Vahini Satsang and on all the other programs. As respect to Vahini Satsang, if you are reading the Prema Vahini, please share with us your thoughts, your insights, and if there's any queries that you want us to discuss in this forum, we could do that, because everyone has their own points of view as they read Bhagwan's message. So it would be always very, very enlightening to hear different understandings of the same immortal message of Bhagwan. So please feel free to share your thoughts. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude to Bhagwan for this beautiful opportunity to ruminate on his eternal message, we pray to him that we can continue this sadhana and purify our lives as we strive to become one with him. Thank you so much. Sadhana.